In our downstairs class this morning, we were talking about some of the symbolic language in the Bible and how the Bible, to include Jesus, tries to somehow reveal to us some things that are hard to understand in the supernatural world, in the spiritual world, etc. And so what you can find throughout the scriptures, and especially in the teachings of Jesus, is he will take some things that we can relate to here, in the here and now, and put those as a comparison beside some spiritual truths that enable us to go, oh, okay, I think I have a better idea of, you know, the spiritual, the unseen, the supernatural, etc., because I can relate to the physical, and that in some ways is like the spiritual aspects. And so what we're going to do tonight, as some of you may already realize, we're going to talk about sheep. Now, if that topic sounds familiar, it might be because we've talked about it before. Roughly 8 years ago, I had a two-part lesson. One that focused on a verse-by-verse decomposition, if you will, of Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Part two of that was drawn upon the need to beware of wolves. And you may or may not recall in that particular sermon, we were talking about all different kinds of, if you will, wolves in sheep's clothing. And again, you can kind of see the analogy or the metaphor or the simile, etc. So tonight what we want to do is shift gears a little bit more and talk about the physical characteristics of sheep and then try to make some spiritual applications from those characteristics. Now, I probably don't need to tell you that in biblical times, sheep and taking care of sheep was a very common thing. In fact, all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, four chapters into the Bible, it is mentioned, sheep are mentioned in conjunction with Abel. Job chapter 1, who was one of the more notable figures back there in that time, had 7,000 sheep in his herds, and was described as one of the greatest, or the greatest of the time. Of course, 2 Samuel 7, David was, as a young lad, sheep herder. Certainly a key part of Old Testament worship in a number of different passages like Leviticus 1:10, Leviticus 22:19, and Numbers 18:17. And of course, on into several places throughout the Old Testament, the important role of shepherds in terms of taking care of the sheep, taking care of the flocks. Numbers chapter 27:17, 1 Samuel 17:34, and 1 Kings 22:17. And of course, that continued on in the New Testament times. Luke chapter 17, verse 1, John 2, verses 14 through 15, etc. So something that the people then were very experienced with, could relate to, sheep, their characteristics, how they behaved, their strengths, their weaknesses, how to take care of them, etc. Okay. We have a problem, though, today in modern times because, in our modern high-tech urban environments, we're kind of disconnected, if you will, to some degree, from nature and various aspects of nature to include a more rural lifestyle, generally speaking. Taking care of animals, etc. And so what I thought I'd do, as we mentioned earlier, take tonight's lesson and look at various characteristics of sheep that we may not really relate to in our modern society that the people back then could, and a lot of the passages in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, that refer to sheep and their characteristics that we might go, yeah, I don't get it. So we're going to focus on that tonight. Speaking of focus, we've got about 8 different areas to focus on. One is their ability, or maybe I should say their lack of ability, generally speaking, to defend themselves. Having a somewhat poor sense of direction, they tend to be flock or social animals. They tend to be trusting. They can easily be overburdened, and we'll get into expand that a little bit when we get there. That basically they need a good shepherd. They need to be good sheep. And we'll close out with the fact that sheep were offered in sacrifice. And for each of these, we'll talk about the physical and then what the spiritual ramifications are. So let's talk about relatively defenseless. Of course, sheep, lack, claws, poison, a number of other kinds of defense mechanisms, against predators. And I might notice, especially, and you can kind of see this with predators, physical predators like wolves, etc. Especially vulnerable are, the young lambs, as you might expect. Those that are suffering from some disease, as well as the elderly. One of the defense mechanisms they have, to some degree, is the ability to run, kind of. And you can kind of see in all three of these cases, they'd be impaired. Now, you might think, and I'll mention this a little bit later, in a spiritual sense, well, who tends to be more vulnerable in a spiritual sense to temptation, Satan, falling away? Well, the young and the inexperienced, right? Those who may be struggling, those who may be struggling with disease, and or those who may be struggling with age and various infirmities. So that immediately there's kind of a spiritual application. Reference in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 and 35. David acknowledged, yes, as a young shepherd, he often had to defend the flock from, in this particular case, if I remember right, lion or bear, that he would have to intervene to keep the sheep from being killed. In terms of spiritual application, well, Jesus makes that observation in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. In describing his disciples that were about to be sent out, again, relatively defenseless. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Again, the kinds of people they would encounter, hostility, persecution, etc. Similar language, Luke chapter 10, verse 3. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs. Again, lambs, young, even more defenseless, if you will, in some cases, among wolves. Continuing that thought about being relatively defenseless, spiritual application, and this kind of ties in a little bit to the lesson I had 8 years ago. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you. And I really love this visual. In sheep's clothing, in case you didn't notice him kind of hiding out there. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Not just wolves, they're hungry wolves. And wouldn't mind getting some mutton, so to speak, some lamb. Acts chapter 20, verse 29, referring to within the congregation, if you will, within the flock. For I know this, of course, this is Paul. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And Paul, Holy Spirit through Paul, used that language as well. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up again to rend and destroy, if you will, the flock. And in the lesson, again, 8 years ago, we pointed out that, those wolves in sheep's clothing can be any number of people. Friends that we let get close to us, family members, teachers in school, quote-unquote scientists, as Paul was referring to earlier this morning, the media, those who claim to be Christians, but in some ways are not, actual members, sometimes even ourselves. All of these can be, if you will, wolves in sheep's clothing that we have to be careful to watch out for. Because as sheep, we are relatively defenseless on our own, I might add. So that's the first point. Second point, somewhat poor sense of direction. At least according to 1 Kings 22, verse 17, in the passage, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, as sheep that have no shepherd. Even though they do tend to be somewhat social, they can scatter themselves, right? With a somewhat, poor sense of direction, and sometimes get, if you will, lost. Spiritual application? Well, sure. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All of us, I like that, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And you might say, why? Well, partially because defenseless, but also partially because sense of direction. Now, let's bring in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You may not be as smart as you think you are, as a sheep. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, commonly quoted, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Poor sense of direction. Judges chapter 17, 6, one of the more darker times in the nation of Israel's history. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And of course, we see some of that today, and we see some of the consequences of that. Wandering off. Poor sense of direction, if you will. Now, sheep do tend to be somewhat social, and you know they tend to clump together in some degree, being social, gregarious, etc. At least according to one website I found, this quote, sheep display an intensely gregarious social instinct that allows them to bond closely to other sheep and preferentially to related flock members. Flock mentality movements, like the flock moving around, tend to protect individuals from predators because of the flock, the group of people. Is there a spiritual application for that? Well, sure. As sheep, spiritual sheep. Let's bring in Hebrews chapter 10. How about that? Verse 23 through 25, where the writer encourages us to hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How do we do that? Well, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. How do we as sheep do that? We come together as a flock. Again, you can kind of see the parallel there between the physical and the spiritual. Also, being flock animals, the New Testament acknowledges the value of having local shepherds. Acts 20, verse 28, Paul writing, therefore, take heed yourselves into all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. Likewise, Peter, similar message, 1 Peter 5, 2, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So being a somewhat of a flock, local flock, it is good to have, you know, local shepherds over us. Again, since we're somewhat defenseless to some degree, and we tend to wander off. Okay, sheep. Something else. So being social animals, they tend to be somewhat trusting. Okay, certainly trusting enough to follow the rest of the herd, right? Because they tend to herd together. Or the shepherd that's leading them. Okay. Spiritual application. Well, this is a little bit of a negative. I mean, yes, it is somewhat good to trust, but sometimes that can have a negative ramification as well. Exodus 23:2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. So don't follow the crowd, especially if they're going to do evil, right? Jeremiah 50, verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. There used to be a phrase, I think it was former President Reagan, trust but verify. Potentially applicable here as well. In terms of crowds, how about Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14? Talking about the wide gate, broad way, it leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Again, be careful about following the crowd. Luke 6:39, returning to the leaders, if you will. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Again, similar analogy, if you will. And then, of course, we got back to Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are. Again, the graphic, ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. So, trusting to some degree, but from a spiritual perspective, watch out for following the herd or following the crowd, if you will. And watch out for just blindly following any sort of, you know, church leadership. Pastors, preachers, elders, etc. Okay, so here's another one. Sheep. Sheep are not, how shall I say this? Sheep are not pack animals, right? You can't put a large burden on a sheep like you can a horse or a mule, right? They're just It's not built for that. I found this during my research. They can get stuck if they fall on their back. In some circumstances, I don't know if you can see it here from the back of the room, but there's this little bit of a depression. And this sheep, he, she, whatever, she's stuck. Can't get up. The Brits have an expression for that called being cast down. Can't get up on their own. And in that circumstance, either they're going to, you know, eventually die from, you know, dehydration, right? Or some predator's going to get it, right? Can't get up. Can be overburdened. Spiritual applications. Well, recognizing that, for instance, Psalms 30, verse 10, hear, O Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, be my helper. Several chapters later, Psalm 55, 22, cast your burdens on the Lord, he will sustain you. Again, Hebrews 13, 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. How about Galatians chapter 6, verse 2? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We as sheep can be easily overburdened, and we need help. We have to admit we need help. We have to be willing to accept we need help in a spiritual sense. Okay, so given all these different kinds of characteristics, sheep really need a good shepherd, right, to take care of. And, you know, shepherds that kind of knows about sheep, knows how to take care of them, knows how to lead them, knows where to lead them, knows how to provide for the sheep, knows how to protect the sheep. Sheep need a good shepherd. Simple enough. As we see, given the characteristics that sheep have, given the characteristics we have as sheep, leading, guiding, pasturage, keep us from straying, seek us when we do stray, you know, help when we're burdened, defend against predators, etc. Spiritual application? Pretty straightforward. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. I won't read the whole thing, but you can look it up in your own Bibles afterwards. Let me kind of get a couple high spots. Touch on a couple high spots. Of course, Jesus is referring, and again, something that they could easily relate to. You know, some kind of a keeper that's, you know, the sheep are isolated from wandering off. Sheep hear the shepherd's voice, calls his own sheep, leads them out, goes before them. The sheep follow him. The good shepherd, here we go. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But, of course, within their world, someone that was hired to take care of the sheep, just being paid, does not own the sheep. Sees the wolf coming and runs away. Wolf catches the sheep. Hireling flees because he is a hireling. He's someone who's, you know, on salary, payroll, whatever. Does not own the sheep, does not really care about sheep. The importance of a good shepherd. The importance of a good shepherd spiritually. Benefits of the good shepherd. Of course, that's an easy parallel to make. Psalms chapter 100, verse 3. And this is like several different times in the Old Testament. You can see, you know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. Here comes the analogy. We are the sheep of his pasture. Isn't that beautiful? Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs. Again, the tender ones, especially vulnerable. With his arm, carry them. Gently lead those who are young. And then, of course, as I said in my first part 8 years ago, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In real quick summary, provides our needs, brings us comfort, restores, leads us, paths of righteousness, calms our fears, protects us from evil, accompanies us, comforts us. Very beautiful psalm, Psalm 23. Continuing on, good shepherd, more spiritual applications. Continuing on in John chapter 10, which we introduced earlier, verses 1 through 15. Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And now this is important if you're following, you know, Old Testament references to the Lord being shepherd, Jesus, New Testament, being sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This next part's probably most important for us, non-Israelites, non-Jews. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. Of course, referring to Christians. Again, back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. For our sins, by whose stripes you're healed. Here comes the analogy. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And in an interesting turn, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's also a lamb. Isn't that interesting? The analogy? John chapter 1, verse 29. Next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Which is a reference to sacrifice, which we'll get to in a few moments. Need a good shepherd. How about one who is concerned over lost sheep in the fold, so to speak? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Lord saying, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." You know, those who wander off. Those who don't come into the flock to become a Christian. Those who wander off as well. Luke 15, 1 through 7 drives home the second aspect of that. Those Christians who wander away. If you have 100 sheep and you lose one, well, the good shepherd goes out and tries to find it. Rejoicing when that happens. More joy. This is interesting. Tiny glimpse into the supernatural realm. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. More joy in heaven. But doesn't that imply that angels, God, etc., in heaven are aware of what's going on down here and experience emotions based on what goes on down here? Well, it seems to be what it says, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Again, under the general topic of being good shepherd being concerned over lost sheep. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The good shepherd. But we also need to be good sheep under a good shepherd. We need to trust and follow the shepherd. Simple, right? John chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, and verse 14, and verse 27. Again, back to John 10. There's a lot of things right in that passage. Brings out his sheep. They know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. At least they better not follow a stranger. Will flee from the stranger. Do not know the voice of strangers. I am a good shepherd. I know my sheep. And am known by my own. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. As the meme indicates, follow the shepherd, not the herd. And of course, part of being a good sheep, gentle, kind, compassionate, prayerful, humble, certainly not a predator, spiritually speaking. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, which we mentioned the first part earlier. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be harmless as doves. Now, I guess you could easily put in there harmless as sheep, right? Isaiah 11, 6. Likewise, Isaiah 65, 25. Somewhat in prophetic language. Coming a time, which if I remember correctly, is the Messianic kingdom, the church, different kinds of people. Different backgrounds, lifestyles, personalities, wolves and sheep, so to speak, if you will, coming together. Wolf will dwell with the lamb. Wolf and the lamb will feed together. Being gentle, compassionate one to another, as good sheep. Continuing on, being careful as good sheep. Why? Well, earlier, you mentioned Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Sheep in the midst of wolves, therefore be, okay, if you're going to be a sheep, you better be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. 1 John 4, 1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Be careful whether they're of God. And again, like we saw earlier in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. You will know them by their fruits. And I like this one especially since, you know, in biblical times in the land of Canaan, there were, you know, species of lions running around that shepherds would know about. Lions, bears, wolves, etc. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind, your enemy, the devil. Here's another analogy, very similar. Prowls around like a roaring lion looking for, this is the Jeff paraphrase, if you like, a roaring lion looking for some sheep to devour. How about that? Last point. Excuse me. When we think of sheep, us modern people, we tend to think in terms of like cuddly, plush little animals that we buy for our kids or our grandkids, sometimes for our dogs, right? We think of them as pets, right? And yet, biblically speaking, sheep were often associated with offerings to God, as in sacrificial offering, animal sacrifices, if you will, without blemish, and the best parts of the sheep were offered to God in sacrifice. You saw that in Genesis chapter 4 with Abel. Chapter 4, verse 4, likewise Numbers chapter 6, verse 14, Leviticus 14, verse 10, etc. As I said, we saw earlier with Abel. That's a little hard for us moderns to wrap our minds around, of taking this fluffy, cuddly pet and killing it in sacrifice. It's like, now, if you're a rancher, okay, that's the normal part, but you know, we're not ranchers, typically. Spiritual application. Well, if we're going to be good sheep, we need to be ready to be sacrificed. Let that one sink in. Romans, and now I can bring in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Other aspects of sacrifice, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, like those, God is well pleased. So, we as sheep need to be willing to be sacrificed, if you will. So, let's wrap this up, since time is getting away from us. We need a good shepherd. Okay? One that can lead, provide, protect, and as sheep, we benefit from having our needs met, having mercy shown on us, being comforted, have peace, etc. The way this graphic is laid out, there's a big gap in between. How does this over here on the left with the Good Shepherd actually come over here to the right to benefit us as sheep? Well, some simple things. Studying the Bible, studying the Word, like we've been doing tonight, and understanding the characteristics of the Good Shepherd, understanding the characteristics of the good sheep. There you go. Relying on fellow Christians in the flock. Okay. Prayer. As well as God's providence, etc. A number of different ways. All right, let's wrap this up. I think this is the final slide. Talking about characteristics of sheep. Okay. First of all, you notice it's a personal relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal relationship. We are his sheep. We belong to God. We are part of his flock. It's a personal relationship. Here's another one that's kind of counterculture. In our society, the kind of characteristics that we describe as sheep are not really valued all that much. I mean, relatively defenseless, wandering, straying away, can't provide for oneself, sometimes gets stuck. Can't carry heavy burdens. That, right? Sheep, right? And in fact, within our vernacular, you know, it is somewhat insulting to claim so. Why are you just following them like a bunch of sheep? Right? It's an insult. Within our culture that tends to value strength, independence, etc. and characteristics like being somewhat weak, unable to provide for ourselves fully, wandering off, getting in trouble, willing to listen, willing to follow, willing to submit, again, back to John chapter 10. All these kinds of things are like, yeah, well, I'm supposed to be a sheep. And a sheep's kind of like a man, animal. Yeah, but the Bible describes you as a sheep. Are you willing to accept that? It'd be challenging, and again, in our modern culture. As sheep, we need to take practical steps to follow the shepherd. Okay? There's another summary, a conclusion that we need to draw from the lesson. And segueing into the invitation. How about you? Yeah. Are you willing to admit you're a sheep? That can take some humility. Are you willing to submit, willing to admit you need a shepherd? And willing to submit to a shepherd. Spiritual speaking, initially to become a member of the flock, being baptized, etc. Or, as a member of the flock, have you strayed away from the flock and you need help? Naturally segues into our invitation. So if either of those apply to you tonight, if you need to make your needs known by coming forward, we now offer the opportunity to do that as we stand and sing.